Good morning. Good to see you on this beautiful day. Okay, what we're going to do, I'm excited about this. We are taking a break from the Gospel of John. We started the Gospel of John back in June. So I looked through my file on my computer, we have gone through almost 30 sermons on the Gospel of John and finished 6 chapters. So we're not even halfway through it yet. So we're going to come back to that in March. Then in April, we're going to take another break, and we're going to have missions in the month of April. Easter, April 1st. Then the next Sunday, the 8th, we're going to have a missionary in town named Joshua Bell, missionary going to London, England. He'll be here presenting his field preaching for us that morning. Then the next week, Brian Lowry will be preaching for us. Then the next week, I think Jared will be presenting what he's doing with the international students here in Hayes. So a lot of things going on in the month of April. But for this month, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about church membership. This is a topic that I have been personally studying for a number of months now. I've been reading and listening to sermons and watching interviews and just talking to other pastors about membership. So there's nothing better to teach than what you're learning yourself. So an application just for personal life. When you're going through your Bible and you're learning something in Scripture, you teach that better. So if I teach this poorly, sorry. Hopefully we'll get through it. So we're going to spend the next few weeks, this whole month, going through membership. Now, the topic of church membership is maybe something you grew up with. I remember when I was a kid growing up in an independent Baptist church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then my parents moved to Owosso. The idea of transfer of membership by letter. Anybody familiar with that? Familiar with the idea of transfer membership by letter? Okay. Of course, Ben Wood, Lynn, some of you old school Baptist people remember that. When you move from one city to another city or from one church to another church, you would transfer membership from that church to another church by letter. You would call Grace Baptist Church in Salina, and you move to Hayes, you're a member of Grace Baptist Church in Salina, you would transfer a letter. So our church would call Grace Baptist, or we'd send a letter to them, and they would send a letter back to us approving of your transfer of membership. Doesn't happen anymore. I have not got a letter from anybody or sent a letter out to anybody. Which that's a weird practice that some of us independent Baptist churches do, which is not in Scripture, but we do it anyway sometimes. So membership, here's what I believe has happened. In an attempt to make the gospel and make Christian ease more appealing and easier to understand and more attractive to unchurched, unregenerate people, the seeker-sensitive church model has just ignored this one. We've just kind of taken this one, put it in a closet with the leftover old churchy stuff, and just kind of stuck it away. And I believe to the dangerous detriment of the church. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But the idea of church membership, well, some will say, well, it's never stated in the Bible that, and it doesn't, that we should be members of a church. And you're correct. There's nowhere in the Scripture where you will read a verse where the Apostle Paul will say, you must join a local church. It's not in there. But neither is the doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity itself is not stated clearly in Scripture, but the practice and the theology, the systematic theology, is there. And I would believe, I would full-heartedly say this, that if you reject the Trinity, you've got some serious problems in your theology. So there's no clear statement of the Trinity, but the practice or the doctrine of the Trinity is assumed and is laid out throughout the Bible. And I would say so is church membership. It is not clearly stated, but it is assumed and implied throughout the whole entire New Testament. But the word membership is a kind of confusing word, and we'll look at more of this next week. When we get more into this study. But it's just a term that we've kind of used for this what this idea means. You could, in some ways, translate it or repackage it in the word partnership. Do you partnership with the local church? Are you a member of the local church? And what that means is this your people? Are you committed to this local gathering of people? The practice of marriage, or the picture of marriage, is Christ uses a lot for the picture of salvation. And we can also use the picture of marriage very closely to membership of a local church. When you get married, you commit yourself to that person forever, till death parts you. In some ways, you can use the same illustration for the local church, for membership of the local church. You are committing yourself to a local gathering of people. You are committing yourself to struggle, to disagree, to rub up against. You are committing yourself to cry together, to worship together, to have joyful moments together. You're committing yourself to the good, bad, and the ugly. That's what a partnership or membership of a local church does. And again, I believe, fully believe, full-heartedly believe that the lack of commitment to a local church is very, very detrimental to your spiritual growth. And we're going to look at that this morning. So if you have a bulletin on the back of that, there are some notes. We're going to look at four implications of church membership in Scripture, or four areas where church membership is implied in Scripture. When the Apostle Paul writes his New Testament books, when Peter writes, when Jesus is actually speaking in the Gospels, the idea of you being a member, a partner with a local church is assumed. It's an assumption. There's no one in the New Testament that is not associated or connected or membered or partnered with a local church. There's no such thing in the New Testament as the Lone Ranger Christian or the consumer Christian. That's another thing that has happened in our modern culture. We're very consumeristic, very consumer-based, especially this afternoon. If you watch Super Bowl, you watch the Super Bowl for what reason? Commercials. You don't really care about the game. Of course, it's a Patriots. Who cares? We're not watching that game. It's all rigged anyway, right? Easy. Easy. But you watch it for the commercials. And what do the commercials try to do? The commercials push and prod and lean into your consumeristic, sinful nature. Well, in an attempt to be seeker-sensitive, an attempt to make the gospel easier and less offensive, churches have used the consumeristic, sinful heart to draw people. So, for example, silly question. What fast food place, and I want you to respond, what fast food place in Hayes has the best French fries? McDonald's. You are absolutely correct. Amen. You are righteous and holy people. Okay. Are there real potatoes? Probably not, but they're really good. Okay. Who has the best hamburger in fast food? Freddy's? Okay. Maybe. I can disagree on that one, but okay. Freddy's is good. Let's say, how many of you would do this? You would drive to McDonald's, get French fries, then go to Freddy's and get a burger. I've done it. I have done it. Okay? Especially if there's a Chick-fil-A around, I'm going to Chick-fil-A to get a chicken sandwich, then go to McDonald's and get the French fries. I am that sinful of a person. But here's what, that's a silly illustration, but here's what people do, though. They treat church the same way. You know what? I really like the music at that church. I like the preaching at that church. I like the seats of that place. So I'm going to go here and go here, and I'm going to take some of this one, take some of this one, and I'm just going to go to all of them throughout the month and get just a hodgepodge and the melting pot, the stew version of church. Because you're very consumeristic. You're taking, not ever giving. And you're missing a lot of what it means to be part of the church. Here's a question I'm going to propose, and we're going to hopefully, as we dismiss in the next few moments, and as you go and throughout your week and throughout your connection group, which you're all a part of, hopefully, you can chew on this one. Is the church when it's not together? Just ponder. Don't shake your head. Don't do that. Don't like whatever. Just ponder that one. Is the church when it's not together? Maybe you've heard this phrase. Maybe you've heard this phrase. Maybe you use this phrase. And I'm not going to make fun of you if you have. Well, you know, it's more important for us to go be the church than to have church. And that's a good phrase and a good saying at itself, because you're trying to really promote evangelism, promote goodwill towards the community to be salt and light. One thing I really challenge you to be a salt and light, influence those you're around. But we can't ignore the fact that we have to be together to be a local church. So in your notes, number one, the church is implied in four ways. The first one is this: in the church gathering. In the church gathering. The Greek word for church, ekklesia. Ekklesia is the word for church in the New Testament. When you see the word church in the New Testament, it's the word ekklesia. What that means is, it means gathering or assembly. So an ekklesia is a gathering or assembly. Now, same for the word disciple, which looked at last week. You can use the word ekklesia to mean a lot of different things. We can have a gathering of different reasons, okay? We could gather to watch a football game this afternoon. We could ekklesia to do something else. But when the word is church is used, it's used ekklesia as a gathering. So is it possible to have a church if the church doesn't gather? That's the question I'm going to drop there and let you chew on, okay? Assembly. Okay, New Testament books. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. These are all New Testament books that the Apostle Paul wrote. And who did he write them to? Churches, both of them churches. Churches in Corinth, a church in Corinth, church in Galatia, church in Ephesus, church in Colossae, the church in Thessalonica. He wrote these to churches. In Revelation, you have the first few books of Revelation. You have the seven letters to the seven churches. So these letters that Paul writes, he's writing to churches. What these churches would do, these gatherings, they would gather together and they would read the letters that Paul wrote. They would pass the letters around. They would maybe copy them and read them out loud together. They would gather together. So you have your Bible. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a text that we will come back to a lot in this series. Pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. There is a Bible in the pew in front of you. If you need one of those, grab one of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And it picks up this way. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jew or Greeks, slave or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it of any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, and he has chosen. If we are all single members, where would the body be? As is written, there are many parts, but yet one body. So Apostle Paul is writing to a church in Corinth, and he is challenging them. He is instructing them. The church of Corinth was, we can learn a lot from them. They were not the greatest church in the world. Okay, most of Paul's letters are there to instruct, to discipline, to correct. And the church of Corinth definitely needed that correction. They needed a little bit of motivation. And Paul's writing this to them to encourage them. And he uses the illustration of the body. And it's a great illustration of our human body. Our eyes have a job. Our ears have a responsibility. Our mouth, our legs, our fingers, our toes. If we remove one from the body, if you take your eyes out and put them on a table, are your eyes now useful? No. If you take your ears off and set them aside, they're not useful. If you take your arms off, you get the point, right? We all need to be together to be beneficial, to be helpful. Maybe you woke up this morning with a little bit of pain, a little bit of back pain or knee pain or some kind of a pain, and you know what it feels like to have the body begin to betray you. It's not fun when your body doesn't work the way it used to work, right? You feel it when the body doesn't operate the correct way. You need every part, every piece doing its job. And it has to be together. It has to be gathered to do that. It can't work alone. It cannot function if it's all spread out. You track that? So the church is implied when it gathers together. Number two, in church discipline. Another thing. Now, what we're looking at this morning, we're going to look at more detail as the month goes on. So I want to encourage you to gather with us the next 3 weeks, in the weeks following those 3 weeks. Church discipline. One subject that, again, modern church has ignored. Turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Pick up verse 15. Good to hear pages turning. Thank you very much for that. Old preacher one time said that's Baptist air conditioning. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, because you and him alone, between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So Christ is laying out the steps we are to take when we have struggle inside the body. Inside the gathering, when you and your fellow Christian are having struggle, these are the steps you take. You don't go to Facebook. You don't go to your friend. You go to the person you have the problem with. Okay? These are the steps. So, 15, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. So if you go to your brother, or go to your friends, hey, this has happened. You hurt me. This is the problem we're having. Let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. Let's deal with this. Let's both repent. And that happens, and you make amends and you reconcile, you have won your brother, and it's done. Wouldn't it be amazing if we all dealt that same way with our problems? Verse 16. But if he does not listen, so step two, if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established with the evidence of two or three witnesses. So in a serious situation and there is serious sin, and you go to your brother, go to your friend, and they don't listen, they reject, they don't repent, you go back with now another friend. Two or three people, you go together and you sit down and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is our concern. This is our love for you. You try to win them back. Try to get them to repent. 17. So step 3. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Okay. Church discipline. You've gone through these steps. They refuse to repent. Go to the last step. And they refuse to repent. You tell it to the church. Now, the first two steps have always been private. You alone, you and that person. And then the next step is still private, you and someone else. It's not you in the Facebook world. It's not you and everyone else. It's you and this person, the person that you love this individual. You care for their soul. And they still reject. They still do not repent. They still not see the sinful life they're living in. The last step is you go tell the church. Tell the church. Verse 17. Look what happens if this person refuses to listen to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. What does that mean? You are to remove him, her, from the gathering of the local church, and you treat them as an unbeliever. They are to be removed from the body. They are to be severed from the body. How can you be removed from a body? You first must be in that body. You track that? So you first must be a member, a partner of that local church for you to be removed from that local church. Church discipline, which we will talk more and more about as we get into this series. We'll deal with this more and more. Number 3, in church leadership, Hebrews 13. Turn there with me to Hebrews 13. Towards the end of the New Testament, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Hebrews. If you see James, you went too far. Revelation, you went way too far. Hebrews 13. Pick up verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, without groaning, for what does it have no advantage to you? So back to the verse, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will give an account. So there's two things happening in this first part of this verse. The author of Hebrews, which we don't know who the author of Hebrews is, I think it's the Apostle Paul, but it's just opinion, says, submit to your leaders in the local church. Okay, so let's think about this. If, again, with church discipline, the second point, let's go back to the second point. I missed something. I want to come back to it. If your brother or sister sins, you talk to them, they do not repent, you go tell it to the church. Who do you tell it to? The church. Does that mean you tell it to the universal church or the local church? The local church, okay? So back to Hebrews, the third point, your leadership. You are to submit to your leaders. Does that mean every preacher in the whole entire world? To the preacher on television, to the preacher at North Oak, to the guy at Cross Point, the guy at Celebration, to every church leader in our city? No. That's what it says. Submit to your leaders. Why? Why do you submit to them? For they keep watch over your souls as to those who will give an account. Now, this is my responsibility as your shepherd, as your pastor. I have the weighty responsibility to keep watch over your soul. Why? Because I will give an account for your soul. I will give an account as your pastor of this local church, of this local gathering, for what I taught you, for what I preached to you, what I counseled you. So as the pastor of High Plains, who am I responsible for? Every Christian in Hayes? No, I'm not. I'm responsible for the gathering of High Plains. You track that? So one day, Pastor Ben will have to give an account for what he led High Plains in his time. Pastor Sparkman, who is now in glory in his reward, will give an account. 100 years from now, the next guy who's the pastor of this church will give an account. And so on and so on it goes. The pastor at North Oak gives an account for his church. Celebration for his church. For Cornerstone, for his church. Cross Point, his church. So forth and so forth. If you're not a member of High Plains, if you have not partnered with High Plains, I'm not your shepherd. I'm not your pastor. I care for you. I love you. I want to do the most I can for you, but I'm not accountable for you. You're not part of the body. You're outside the body. We'll deal with that more and more as we go on. Last one, in church accountability. Church accountability. The church is accountable to choose leaders. In Acts chapter 6, there was a situation. They needed help with serving the widows, so they chose leaders from among themselves to help with this problem. Acts 6, read that. Preaching the gospel. The church is accountable to preach the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. That should be a verse you should know. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. And I say this, and I'll say it again. If I ever deviate off of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, you are to fire me. Remove me. If I change the gospel in any kind of way, go buy the boxes. Identifying members in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, you're at a church, the church identifies its members. And last, the church is accountable to sending out missionaries. Acts 13, the church at Antioch had gathered together, the elders of Antioch had gathered together, and they were praying and they were worshiping. And God set apart Paul and Barnabas to the work. Church at Antioch sent out the very first missionaries into the mission field. Church is accountable. Last thought. I want to challenge you this morning and the weeks to come. I want to challenge you to join us, to officially join High Plains Baptist Church, to partner with us as we preach the gospel, worship a risen Savior, send out missionaries, encourage each other, build the body, and glorify God. So what is a member? A member is a born-again person. So the first step in this process is for you to be a born-again believer in Christ. If you are not a born-again believer in Christ, you cannot be a part of this church, as a member of this church. You're welcome to attend, welcome to join us, but you're not a member of us until you're a born-again believer. So a quick challenge. Have you trusted Christ with your life, your eternal life? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and King? Have you submitted to him, repenting of your sins, and trusting in him alone for your salvation? That's the most important thing. That's where it all begins. Second challenge, which gathering, which local church are you a part of? Now, if it's not High Plains, that's okay. I'm going to be somewhat honest with you a little bit. If it's not High Plains, that's okay. If it's some other church in town, great. Then go, join them, partner with them, be at their designated services, get involved in their ministries, give, sacrifice, submit to leadership, fully devote yourself to that local body of believers. If it's here, do the same thing. Get involved, submit, be in attendance, so forth and so forth. All to the glory of Christ, all to the betterment of your soul, and all to the gospel getting out to a lost and dying world. We can do more together than we ever can apart. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Father, I want you to just to do the work I can't do. Convict, challenge the heart, the soul. Show us all the areas in our lives and our spiritual walk that we need to improve and need to lean into the gospel more. Strengthen this local gathering here at High Plains Baptist Church. Grow us in the gospel. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Lord and King, they are not, have not stepped from darkness to light, Lord, I pray you save their soul, open their hearts to truth, regenerate them, cause life in them. And as we as a local church can gather around them to encourage them and love on them and glorify in their new life. Pray you bless us this afternoon as we go. Be with those who are traveling as we leave. Give us mercy as we leave and on the roads. And those that are not with us this morning. We thank you and love you for all things. Christ, and I pray. Amen.